I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A, and we are very excited to welcome back to our studios the quartet that is Superior Siren. Not always a quartet, sometimes it's just Laura, but it's Laura Sellner, Rachel Gobin, Nissa Krause, and Emma Diener. Welcome.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here.
Thrilled to have you here. And it's been a long time coming, but you have a new debut album out today, self-titled, right? Well, we are really excited about the album, and we'll find out more about that. But what would you like to start with here?
We're going to start with Leon. It is a song that I wrote for my grandmother, and it is the first song on the album.
Gold coins on his eyelids, shed shades through the glass, cold snow in the morning, she'll marry him fast. She's waiting for the train to arrive, she'll see her man when she dies. Corvettes and tomatoes, red juicy lips plum, one shot from the arrows hits center and stuck. She's waiting for the train. Pours a tall glass of brandy, sips sweetening numbs. Tears fall much too easily, won't stop till she's gone. She's waiting for the train to arrive. She'll see
Superior Siren, live from Studio A with Leon. Was that actually your grandma's name, Laura?
Yes.
Nice. That's a song that I think has been around for a while. You started Superior Siren as a solo project back in 2012, right?
Yes, that's correct. That's about the time I started writing songs. And during that time, I was experienced some heartache with family, the loss of family members, and was inspired to write that song about my grandmother.
Oh, so that was a very, very early one.
Yes, that was definitely one of the first songs that I wrote.
And so what has it been like? Because you've kind of, you put out a solo EP in 2014, right? And then you started adding a band, like one by one,
Yes.
So what is it like when you have those songs that you've been doing for a while and then suddenly you have a little bit more backing to that? How does it change?
Well, I think that I worked for other musicians for a while, but it was quite strategic as to what types of musicians to bring in to enhance the sound I was trying to create. And bringing a song to a band is an interesting thing. There's parts that you want to stay the same, but there's also room for growth. And I say I would say most of the time, I've always been very surprised and impressed by the way that the band has enhanced the music. It's like it starts as something, and then it just becomes this beautiful piece of work that I would not have imagined it originally.
And does it change how you perform it when you do solo shows at all?
Yes,
the songs?
Yes, definitely now. When I play solo, which I do enjoy doing, I do tend to miss all the other instrumentation. There is something like exquisite about just the solo act, but having the full sound is the full experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's nice to have the flexibility to be able to do that.
Correct.
Because when you have a band, not everybody's available all the time.
Right. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Even when you first started, did you always think, I'd really like to have more players, but it just, you know, was kind of started with just you because that's what you had? And
yeah, I think that when I started, I was okay with just the singer-songwriter thing and playing solo shows. But when I wanted to start playing bigger shows, like when I wanted to get into Homegrown Music Festival, I wanted to have the full band. And so that's what started that desire to have the full band.
Mm-hmm. And were you hearing, when you were envisioning your songs and stuff, could you hear other parts in there? Or?
Yes. Not originally, but over time, as I continue to work with people, I have started to envision more what sounds would enhance the songs. And now when I'm writing songs, I more often think of the parts for the ladies to include.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about how you ended up adding band members, because I think that Rachel was the first one. Is that right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I met Rachel at Zeitgeist, and I learned that she played the cello, and she was just a cool chick, and we got along, and it was like, well, let's try creating together, and it was definitely added to the eerie sound I was going for, and then Rachel and Emma were actually working on a project together, and I saw them play and liked Emma's minimalistic style, and so brought her in. And then we were working with another bass player, but decided that we wanted to complete the project with someone who was available and someone who was also female, just to complete that all-female aspect. And so Nissa Krause was recommended by local musicians, Sarah Kruger and Jeremy Ellert, both recommended her. So we sought her out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a little bit more about each of you. So Rachel, I can't see you, but I'm looking at you around the corner here trying. You actually graduated from UWS, right?
I did, yeah.
And you were playing classical cello, right?
Yeah, I started playing cello in, I think it was sixth grade. Actually, I started playing flute first, and I absolutely hated it. And then somehow I decided cello was going to be a better fit. And so, yeah, I did that all through middle school and high school and college, and then ended up originally going to UWS for music, and then realized it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be, or, you know, what I wanted to do, / I didn't have the time to put in the ridiculous practicing hours that music majors need to have. So I was like, yeah, I stuck with the music minor, though. So I did take some music classes.
And had you played with anyone before in a non-classical, before you and Laura started doing something?
No, I had strictly been in classical, like, symphonies. Like, I did youth symphony that all through high school, and I had done, like, classical quartets and played weddings and stuff like that. So I always had, like, the music right in front of me. And so when it came to the band, I was kind of like a fish out of water because I had no idea what I was doing because I had never had to improv anything before.
Mm-hmm. And how's that been?
Well, I mean, it's gotten a lot better. it's definitely gotten a lot better. And I think you can kind of see that in some of the older songs. You can see that stuff is kind of starting to get a little bit more complicated because I've also become a lot more comfortable. Just trying to think of stuff off the top of my head and what would sound good with what Laura has brought to us.
Mm-hmm.
So
I suppose that's a very big difference because classical music is very regimented.
Absolutely.
And you do what's written down, and this is what you do, and you do not, and you're not supposed to deviate from
it. Exactly, exactly. So this has definitely like been a really great learning process, especially for me, coming from classical music. So,
mm-hmm. Emma, how about you? So tell me about your musical background, and had you played in projects before this?
I attempted to create within an all-female band many years ago, and we had one rehearsal and a photo shoot and a recording session all in one day. Gosh. And that's about as far as it went.
So I'm surprised that that did not become a super popular, you know, number one hit, because sometimes, you know.
It was great. It was a really great moment, 24 hours in history. That little did I know would be a foreshadowing years to come. So my father was a drummer in a band called North Country in Minneapolis. They used to rehearse in a church basement. And he recently previewed their tracks to me on his reel-to-reel player in our basement, which was a great experience I'll forever cherish. But that was really the beginning stages of my musical experiences. I was always around it as a child growing up, and then was classically trained with piano, and then eventually recruited to be the only female in the percussion section in my high school band. Then when I got to college, I found a local community radio station, KUMD, and decided to get involved with the station rather than creating my own music. So I DJed here as part of our street team for a while, then went to England and studied there. Always went to a number of concerts and just had a great appreciation for music. And that continued to grow when I came back to Duluth. And from there, I just got involved with the station and worked here for a good amount of time with so many memories to cherish. And then eventually, Homegrown 2015 rolled around, and I joined a dear friend of mine as well as Rachel for our Homegrown debut as a trio. And that same Homegrown, I was also with Laura for our first time as well. And that kind of was the introduction to our time here in Duluth and to how this project and album came to be.
Great. And Nyssa, I know that you come from a musical family. Your dad plays music in Eau Claire, is that right?
Yes, he, right now he tours with the author and musician Michael Perry in the Longbeds.
Mm-hmm. So that people might know from the Big Top, Chautauqua, yep. That area.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I grew up with a musical family and started playing piano and violin and flute, all these instruments. And then it was his bass player and a good family friend who brought up that maybe I should try playing bass too. And I did. I started playing electric bass in middle school and joined the jazz band. And then in high school, when I started playing jazz, they needed an upright bass player. So I kind of taught myself and started doing that and just really fell in love with the giant instrument and the sound and just kind of the power you feel playing it. And then I actually came to UMD for a jazz studies program and studied and played in a lot of combos about town and really burnt myself out and quit playing music and dropped out of school. And then I learned a lot and grew up a little and went back to school and finished my music degree and also a business degree. But it wasn't until I met these ladies and they kind of approached me to start playing that I really started playing music again. So it's been really special to share that with them.
Nice. Well, and if you decide to continue with the music, a business degree is something that goes nicely with that.
Definitely.
You can help navigate that stuff. Well, let's hear another song, and then we'll come back and find out more about the album and other things. What do you want to play next?
This song is called For Mother. It is a song that I wrote for my mother and that we are dedicating to all mothers and all positive female influences in our lives.
Just to say hello, I called you to see how it goes, and the time has come when the brain reaches connection, and I try to speak, but the words I said. Called you just to say hello. I called you to tell you I love you. Just to say hello, I called you to tell you I love you.
That is Superior Siren live from Studio A, and another one from that debut album. That was For Mother. Well, so far we've heard a song about your grandma and a song about your mother. It sounds like you have a close family, Laura.
Yes, lots of positive female influences. Mm-hmm. I'm very close with my mother and my three older sisters, and yeah, just found inspiration through them.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And where did you grow up?
I am from Duluth, so I grew up in Duluth.
Oh, you are. I guess mm-hmm. I'd forgotten that. Sorry, are they all still around here, your family?
My sisters are in the state, in the Twin Cities, in Grand Marais.
Okay.
My mom's still here, so her and I hang out a lot.
That's really nice. That's great. I'm glad you have that kind of relationship with your mom. I bet she's really proud of you right now.
Yes.
and how did she react when she heard that song for the first time?
Well, I mean, my mom's an interesting person. She's kind of humble. And I think she does enjoy it. I actually don't think she's ever actually expressed her feelings towards it, but she shows it in her actions. She comes to my shows and supports me that way. And so I know she enjoys it. And I think she probably is proud that there is a song about her.
That's nice. So you first started playing out. What did you first start playing out in 2012? Is that?
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to remember. But yeah, I was starting to play open mics like at Sir Ben's
Oh, right.
and
okay.
Beaner's. Mm-hmm. and was getting a positive response, and then later formed a band to play Homegrown.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, I've heard you talk about how much Mason Jennings has influenced you and his music.
Yeah, so I started listening to him early high school years, and he was like the first singer-songwriter that I got into, and he's a phenomenal singer-songwriter, and so it was a great influence for me at that young age. And then also when I started playing guitar, I learned his songs, and that kind of helped me get better.
And what was it about him that appealed to you?
I think his grace and his subtle storytelling that was very captivating. And he also had like this fun side to him too, and a really lovely voice.
Mm-hmm. And some of your songs kind of seem like they have stories to them. Is that something you try to do?
Yeah, I think that when I'm inspired by an event, then I can tell a story. Other songs are more complex, and they're kind of these experiences that all are blended together into one song. Mm-hmm. And it's more like a feeling.
Do you remember the first song that you wrote that you really thought, all right, this is a keeper, this is a good one?
Yes, it was Swamp Creature.
Oh,
and
yeah. Okay.
That song came to me all at once. Mm-hmm. And I was inspired by a current love affair, and it just felt really natural and just felt like a really good song with the hook, like I'm After Your Heart, fit really well. And I think that I most enjoy the songs that just come together all at once. There are songs that I work on over time, but I think that the songs that are most influential are the ones that just are created in one session.
Mm-hmm. And you did put out, as we mentioned earlier, you had put out an EP that had some of these songs on it before.
Yes.
And now you've reworked them for this album.
Yes. So, yeah, four of the songs from the EP are included, and then six newer songs. And I think that we wanted to include them because they were greatly enhanced with the full band and deserved to be heard on mm-hmm. the full album, and really represented our sound with the debut album. We want people to hear these songs. Mm-hmm. Like, we could have put, you know, newer songs, more upbeat, catchier songs or something, but we chose these to represent the sound.
Well, and I think it works really well. I've heard you doing some of these songs for a long time, but with, you know, they still sound really fresh, and especially, you know, you're hearing them in a new context. I think
yes.
it's kind of nice. So totally understandable. But you have some new ones on there. Have you written more since then?
Yes, I've continued to write, which is great. We've really fine-tuned these songs and play them over and over again, and we enjoy them, but we're also looking forward to working on new material. And yeah, thankfully I've continued to be inspired while working on this release mm-hmm. and writing.
And you got a grant for this. I kind of feel like you were very purposeful about this. Is that right?
I very much was purposeful getting the band solidified so that we could go into the studio and record an album and release it and share the music that was created. And I needed funding for it, and so I sought out the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council and planned out to get funding for recording and then to get funding for manufacture of the album.
And you chose Sacred Heart, which seems like a really, really great fit. And
yes, it definitely has that eerie tone to mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And the large space echoes perfectly for our sound. And whenever we play there, we really enjoy it. And so we're very much looking forward to the show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And then also just everything about it, you know, the sound of the album, and then the artwork is so beautiful there. It just seems like all very well, you know what I mean? Thought out and
yes.
just, you know,
yeah,
it's
and
just
we,
lovely.
We took our time. Mm-hmm. We could have released this album probably last year, but it was important to take time so that everything was in order. You know, we had ownership over the songs, everything was in place. The design was just what we wanted it to be. So that when we could release it, that we could really just be proud and have no regrets and just share what we've been working on mm-hmm. in the in its truest form.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's built some of the anticipation for it as well. Because
for sure.
I think, you know, this band has played, you know, played a couple homegrowns now, and you've played a lot of shows out, and I think you really have kind of built an audience and word has spread about you. So I really kind of like how it's sort of built to this beautiful moment of releasing the album. It really has. Well, let's hear another tune. What do you want to wrap up with here?
Well, we're actually going to finish with Swamp Creature.
Superior Siren live from Studio A, and that was another one from that new album. That was Swamp Creature. And again, they are Laura Sellner, Rachel Gobin, Nissa Krause, and Emma Diener. Thank you so much. It's been really a pleasure having you in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christine.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Andrew Ressler and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Thanks for listening.